it makes carboplatin and paclitaxel a better regimen. So that if you want to use that regimen frontline, and the patient otherwise has the criteria for that trial, you know, with all the disclaimers that go with it, non-squamous histology, et cetera.
No brain meds.
Right. No uncontrolled hypertension, no bleeding or clotting history. All of those things, if you find a patient that fits that and you want to give carboplatin and paclitaxel, you should probably give Avastin with it, at least assuming that the definitive report for the literature bears out the abstract presentation. But combining it with other regimens, other drugs right now, I think would be unwise without clinical trial data to support it. There's a preclinical rationale for combination of bevacizumab with the taxanes. And a lot of work is being done to look at other potentially additive and or synergistic combinations. So hopefully there'll be more to work with. But as you know, in breast cancer, the story with capecitabine and bevacizumab was not nearly as exciting as the story with single-agent paclitaxel.
How do you yourself go about selection of chemotherapy in the first-line metastatic setting for non-small cell right now, and where does bevacizumab fit in?
Well, we've always placed our patients on clinical trials. So in the Southwest Oncology Group, we've just finished a big study with C225, either concurrent with or sequenced after carboplatin and paclitaxel. So I think you can still justify, and you need to advance the field. Otherwise, you're left with one regimen with a biologic onto which, what, you're going to add other biologics? It's not going to make sense. So that's why I answered you before. If you want to use carboplatin and paclitaxel as your main regimen in this patient population, then you should add bevacizumab to it, at least to the men. And then the story about women is still controversial based on that initial overall survival